This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 139. When you get home, slap me. Don't ask.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome, people, to another episode of the ESH podcast.
I'm waving at you.
Slash wave.
No, not even. I hardly play WoW anymore. I don't even do slashes anymore. I go Pandalicious waves at you.
I have to say, I'm very proud of you. I'm glad that this is a phase that you're putting behind you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Moving on to new things, new experiences, yeah. New people.
New addictions.
Addictions.
I think I'm just bypassing because once Diablo 3 hits, I'm probably going to go back to PC gaming.
That's okay. That's all right because it'll go in another cycle where you will spend time in Diablo 3 and then you will come to a point in your life where you will not. I'm imagining that will be God of War 3, which we'll get to a little later in the show.
I don't even think that's going to happen because it's going to hit freaking... I'm going to have to wait for it to come over to 360.
I'm going to go with when Hell freezes over.
Yeah, see? So I'm never going to play.
Don't say never. Don't say never. You know, you might wind up with a job. And then you might be able to put pennies together.
Okay.
Well,
just
really,
for the record,
you're gonna need a job.
For you and our fans,
yeah,
I've been applying to places online, and I have not heard anything back. I don't want people thinking I'm not trying.
Here's the thing. Have you walked into a place?
Yes.
Okay. Have you walked into a place excited about working there?
Yes.
Really?
Because all the places I've applied to are, in a weird, odd sense, are places I actually want to work. I went to Whole Foods, and I looked all indie and had my hair in pigtails, but I had a bandana over it.
Very nice.
And a sundress.
Uh-huh. So you went kind of hippie. Very good, very good.
Yeah. And I was smiling because it was early in the morning, and I had my coffee.
Good, good.
Gotta have my coffee.
Yeah, gotta have the coffee.
I applied to GameStop, and if I get that job, I'm definitely not telling DPL which one I'm at.
Yeah, don't tell them which one.
Because I could tell anytime that they find out what my work schedule was.
That would be a bad
thing. That would be really bad. So if I get that job, I'm not telling anyone.
Okay.
I applied to Bertucci's because I like pizza.
Yeah, they have good pizza. They got a margarita.
And I have the application for Starbucks. I'm not as enthused. And Eshmom is like, well, I think the coach store is hiring, but that's more a job
for her benefit, not so much yours. Although, if you want to work at Coach, that'd be fine by me.
I'd be like, hey, Ninja, here's your Christmas present.
Oh, that would make me so happy because I have a thing for bags. All right, we'll get back to this job thing. People, if you're in the greater New England area, hit us up because Panda needs a job.
Yeah.
Seriously, she needs money.
Yeah.
Para ir al E3, oh no.
Yeah, if I don't get monies, I know go to E3, and you know what that means?
I'm going to be one lonely-ass ninja.
Well, no, there are going to be other ninjas there. You'll
here's
just
the thing, ninjas, we don't really have a mixer.
When ninjas see other ninjas, don't you fight?
Yeah, so they're really, that's, yeah. And I'll kill them all because I'm an awesome ninja, so hence the lonely ninja thing.
Did you go to KillCon this year?
I did not because I thought it would be, you know, unfair of me to kill everybody.
Because, you know, I heard from the Ask a Ninja Ninja that KillCon is, like, awesome.
It is. I've been there a few years before, and it's pretty much come down to me and him, and, you know, we've agreed that for the betterment of all ninja kind that we shouldn't really duel each other because it would end up in the ultimate death, and that would just not be cool.
Whoa, not even regular death.
No, yeah, that's how ninjas roll. It's, you know, regular death is like for you regular ninja people, but a ninja ultimate death, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else is smart?
Our website.
You got it. You got to keep visiting us at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find our show airing Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. And you can check out some of the other really interesting entertainment over there, like Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Friday Night Gaming.
Chatterbox.
Did we say Evil Avatar yet?
Nope.
Well, them too.
Ultimate Quest. I mean, there's a lot of great, great entertainment over there. With some
a
new
plethora
things.
Of podcast goodness. I wanted to say a P word today.
Well, you said two, so you should feel accomplished in that.
200% more accomplished.
There you go.
Yeah.
Double the pleasure, double the fun. But, as we said, check them out, check us out. If you enjoy what we do, it's the right community for you to be in. So with that said, got a couple of things that came in from the community, couple of questions, couple of shared experiences that people wanted that felt implored by my question last week, because I was asking for people to answer.
Oh my God, Ninja asked questions and people said, I have an answer. Yeah, but did they answer correctly? Or is this one of those questions that doesn't actually have a correct answer, but any response that's, you know, has a IQ higher than 7. It's a haiku about your IQ.
No haikus, although we do welcome the haikus if you want to just submit some fun ones. That's not a problem. But as I was speaking about last week and talking about the multi-console households and their experiences and also multiplayer on one console versus the other, we had a couple people that chimed in with their experiences. And I wanted to share a couple of these because I found them to be really interesting. So the first one I wanted to share with you guys was from Redotainment COA. And Red was really profound in the email, so thank you very much for spending the time.
Red
and
has much to say. I think he's on Zap Attack.
I believe so. But mostly wanted to talk about experiences as far as actual live online experience between the PS3 and the Xbox 360. And after reading Red's email, pretty much the 360 wins for a lot of the same reasons that I brought up of why I'm leaning heavily towards the online community piece on my Xbox 360 versus the PS3. But Red brought up something that I'd really forgotten about. And one of the things is that you can, you know, do your downloading of your online content in the background on the Xbox 360, which is something that you can't do on the PS3.
Wait, so you could be, like, playing a game and downloading something?
Yeah, basically what you can do is, and I haven't really tried it with playing a game while it's downloading in the background, but you can actually start a download and then tell it to continue in the background and then move on to other areas, either the marketplace or even tell the system to shut down, and it will shut down after the download's completed. So you don't have to sit there and babysit your DLC.
Right.
And you don't have to have it be the only thing that's running. You know, a lot of times I'll start something, and if it's a large download, I'll flip back onto the cable and leave the Xbox running, you know, forgetting that I could be watching something else while the download completes in the background. And, you know, that's just something that you don't get with the PS3. And it's not necessarily a feature that I use all the time, but I do see how that makes a huge difference, because that's one of the things that, for me, is a pain in the ass in the PS3, is you can't do anything else while something is downloading. The entire screen gets taken over, and you just get to watch this progress meter. And that's it.
See, but that's when you go away and you grab yourself some coffee, you pack your kids lunch, and you throw them on that giant yellow square.
One, I don't have kids. Two, if I did...
Can't you just throw somebody else's kids?
They really don't like that a lot. They frown upon that kind of activity. I'm not saying I've done it before, but I, you know... Let's just say that I have to be very careful of whose kids I throw where. Let's put it like that. Okay. I think that's a fair statement. But also talking about how much DLC that's of interest that exists on the PlayStation Network versus the Xbox 360 is also something that Red brought up that I too have noticed as well, is that there's not as much, I think, have to try it out game demos on the PlayStation Network. They're really, really heavy on the content as far as add-on to existing games. So like track packs for your music games or multiple costumes for your Sackboys in Little Big Planet. But there's not a lot of playable game demos. There's lots of video, but not so much playable demo where, you know, there's usually something each week that I wind up wanting to try that's available on Marketplace on the Xbox 360. So I will probably put something up and just kind of talk a little bit more about some of the things that Red brought up in his email. But I do appreciate it because it's really given me a lot more to think. But basically, he broke down, and the last line of his email says that I will say that much of my multiplayer experience involves, in one way or another, digital cock.
Digital cock.
It always, always comes down to the digital cock, man.
Wow.
Always. So Red
is so smart.
I appreciate the email, and we'll definitely be talking about this some more during the week on the website.
Did you say cocking or talking?
I said talking.
That sounds like you said cocking.
Well, I did. I have some spilkus in my genetic.
Cocking. I'm going to say that from now on. It's like I had a nice cock with the professor earlier today.
You know what? You know what? You say that to the wrong person, and your professor won't be your professor anymore.
Ooh.
I have pick you, to... pick you. Down in front, on the other side of the microphone. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, for those who were paying attention to a podcast, was it last week's podcast where our lovely editing guy wanted to, you know, call me on almost saying something that I wasn't going to say? Or was that 2 weeks ago?
That would have been 2 weeks.
Yes, well, apparently I've got some friends who listen to our show.
Yeah.
Who, if you listen to our podcast where we had Derek H. from Dead Pixel Live on the show, Ninja makes a reference about using her feminine wilds when she has to. When she made such a big claim about me calling her on it on that show. As in 2 weeks ago.
Do you actually listen to our show and or the things that come out of your mouth?
I say lots of things that I probably shouldn't say on the air.
This is true.
But the fact that you made such a big deal over me talking about using feminine wiles and saying that you do it also, when several podcasts before you clearly stated in the show. I think the time signature is 43 minutes and 44 seconds.
You should check it out. Here's the thing. You should pick up the episode, because I know the episode you're talking about. If you listen to the whole episode, you can tell that I'm clearly joking because you're not listening. But you're so cute. You're so cute.
Oh, my God.
You tried. You tried. You want a cookie?
Older sister, I hate you. Younger child at rage.
I taste your tears. All right, so moving on. To things that are,
I'm not crying.
Actually, of course you're not. You're just sulking in the corner.
No, I'm not even in the corner, dude.
You're in the internet corner. I've put you there. So the other question that came in.
Oh, I hate you.
You tried, and you get an A for effort. came in from James Patrick. And had a couple of things that he wanted to know about. Like, one, why we haven't talked about the Tenchu game Shadow Assassins. And also wanted to talk a little bit about some games that he recommends are definitely worth a rental on the Wii. Such as Deadly Creatures, House of the Dead Overkill, and of course Mad World and No More Heroes. For me, I agree with all of those titles. I think that they're definitely worth a rental to give them a shot. I'm not as drawn to my Wii as anything else. And even James Patrick admits that, you know, part of the reason why he's spending so much time on his Wii, oh, that sounds so wrong, is because he's still waiting for the rest of his gear to arrive because he recently moved. But I think that there definitely needs to be more games geared towards the older player, the more seasoned veteran player, than the younger player on the Wii. I think that that's where it's kind of stalled out right now in its popularity.
Is it sad that I'd rather watch my friends who have Nintendo DSs play than to play with my Wii?
It's not that it's sad. It's just, I think, reflects the content that's available on the two platforms. Because the Wii should be much more involved just because you have the ability to incorporate the motion, especially with between the balance board and the nunchaku and the remote itself, that you now have the ability to almost get full body involvement into games. It's just that the content to take advantage of that really hasn't happened yet. There hasn't been that explosion of just game after game after game, which is new gameplay, completely involving, especially on a multiplayer level. I mean, the things that I do enjoy to play on my Wii are all the games that let me play with other people that are either physically in the room with me or that I can play online. And so I think that there's this entire demographic that's kind of silently waiting to see if they're going to get addressed or not as far as development. And as more time goes on and that doesn't happen, you're going to see more of those people basically deflecting and going to, you know, your PlayStation 3s and your Xbox 360. I mean, the way that I see it right now is that, and I'll get back to the Tenchu thing because I was burned by a Tenchu game, so I haven't really played a couple in a while. But I really think that as far as the gaming community goes, Nintendo's made it blatantly honest that they are after family consumer level gamers. That's predominantly their audience and who they want to go after. And I think that it's a mistake ignoring or at least pushing on the back burner your more seasoned gamer who's looking for a more, not necessarily mature rated title, but a more mature themed game. Wii Sports, I can only deal with so long before I'm like, okay, all right, challenge me, please.
It's like, please give me something that I have to work for.
Just a little bit. So I think that in order to be successful, this really needs to be the year that Nintendo switches gears here to think about, okay, what is Microsoft and what are Sony doing that enables them to really kind of hit the pulse of this gaming demographic that we're missing and try to emulate some of that and bring some of that. And I think that it's going to be in the mature titles. And time will only tell. I mean, Conduit looks great.
Yeah, you've talked about that before.
You know, but that's one out of how many titles? So, you know, I'll have to see. I know that there's rumors of a No More Heroes 2, which, you know, if that happens, that'll be great. But I think that if Nintendo doesn't get on the bus really quickly with those more mature-themed games, that they're going to be relegated to, like, what the Game Boy was relegated to for a long time of, that's a system that only the kid games come on, and everything is pastel and passé. And I don't want that to happen because I like Nintendo.
Yes, I like Nintendo too.
Now, James Patrick also has a question for you, Panda. Okay. In that, wanted to know if you're interested in all in Final Fantasy IV, the after years.
Well, this is actually the first time I'm hearing about it. Ooh. So it's not something that's been in my face, Not that, you know, putting things in my face actually guarantees I'm going to pay attention to it. I know, that was horrible.
And you went with it anyway. I heard you in the middle of your sentence go, oh, this is going to end up wrong. I heard your brain say it.
There was no point in trying to stop. You don't
always have to commit. Sometimes you just let the train go by.
But, I mean, I'm always very interested in Final Fantasy games. So now that you've brought it up, I want to know more about it. So can I has, please? Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. So, weren't there any other questions relating to Final Fantasy in that mail? Because I swear I read this.
There weren't in this one other than if you've ever played any of the ones before that either to be interested in it. You know, my whole thing is with the new Final Fantasy game that's coming out, just reading about the active battle system and all that kind of thing, I'm really, I hate to say this, but unless Final Fantasy really gets its act together so that I can play one of these games and enjoy it, I'm kind of over it. I mean, I know they're beautiful games. Well, duh. Squeenix throws a lot of money and resources to make the characters look great.
If you look at the character design from Enchanted Arms, they're gorgeous. Is the game good? No.
You know.
Oh my God, no.
I think we're coming to the point, and I think that this is going to.
That aesthetics aren't everything? That there must be something meatier beyond great tits and awesome guns?
Right, because at this point we're all used to great-looking aesthetics.
And great tits.
Yeah. Okay. It's all right. It's okay. I'll get a whirl with it. But in all honesty, yes. Okay, we know that if you spend a lot of time on the new platforms, you can make some great-looking FMV. And if you want to throw the polygons at it and the system resources at it and make my poor little Xbox 360 or PS3 smoke out the back, that you can have some great in-game looking characters and models. We're used to that. So, but having great cinematics now is just not enough because we're used to those great cinematics. So now it comes down to, and I think that you can see it in a lot of the game reviews that are coming out, both from people just in the blogosphere, you know, people in the middle that are kind of like us on the prosumer side that are still enthusiasts, but also play a lot of games and talk a lot of smack and try to get the right thing. You know, and then your, you know, actual professional credentialed media outlets as they're reviewing games going, yeah, it looked great, but it was kind of light in the ass as far as plot and gameplay, so I'm only going to give it a this out of whatever the rating system is, which is only slightly above mediocre, because when it all boils down, that's what the game is, only slightly above mediocre. You know, so I'm not saying that the new Final Fantasy 13, whichever blade of the three out of 13 it is, which I don't know why they just didn't call it 13, 14, 15, but instead you have to have three flavors of 13, but okay. I don't know that the active battle system is going to be enough.
Wait, is the new one with that black guy who kind of looks like Montel with hair?
So, one flavor of it. But then you've got, well, I think one flavor already came out, which was Dirge of Sybaris.
Oh, and then I have you've that got, for the PS2.
Then you've got another one that's supposed to come out while they're still working on the Kingdom Hearts one, because out of the three, there was going to be the one that was the throwback to the PS2, the one in the middle, and the one with gameplay like Kingdom Hearts. And, of course, the one with gameplay like Kingdom Hearts, nobody's even talking about. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But here's, overall, where I sit with Final Fantasy. They're gorgeous. They're long. But in all honesty, it hasn't been, at least for me, since the series that ended up with the creation of the Advent Children movie.
That was such
a... That I've been interested in like a Final Fantasy story. But that was the last time I was interested in a Final Fantasy story.
And the funny thing is, that's pretty much a sum up
exactly
of the game. So
yeah, but that really was the last time, that series of Final Fantasy games was the last time that I was really interested
in what was going on in that universe.
Like, as much as I wanted to be excited about this new one, as I started reading about it, I just found myself getting more and more bored. Especially when I have things on the other side to look at, like a God of War 3, like Ninja Blade, like Brutal Legend, which is back on, like the Ghostbusters game. You know, those appeal to me. Dude, somebody asks if you're a god, You say yes. You know, so, I mean, but those are the shared experiences that I'm looking forward to have. And so I'm not very excited about Final Fantasy moving forward. I want to believe. But I don't see that happening.
I believe in fairies.
Well,
I wanted to make a Hook reference.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Hook was good. I liked
Hook. Hook was a fucking awesome movie. What the fuck are you talking about?
I liked Hook. I don't care what any of my friends say. I liked Hook.
Me too.
Bangarang! I wasn't really sure about Dustin Hoffman until I saw him in the makeup, and I was like, bam, Captain Hook. All right, let's do this.
Bangarang!
Let's get this thing rolling.
Awesome.
So, on that note, let's keep talking games, because we can. GDC happened last week, and as you all know, we are broke as shit.
No, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, so when the choice came down between going to GDC and E3 won, so we did not attend GDC. Tear.
I'm not crying.
I am.
Fuck.
I give two. Sony Center.
Ooh, that was great. I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, you know what?
I did. Oh, you
did. I said it out loud. Yeah. So, out of GDC came a lot of things, including one of my more favorite high definition leaked. See, you can't see it really, but I'm doing air quotes right now.
Oh, no, I felt the air quote. I know.
Footage from the God of War 3. Meeting. Okay. You know how before I said that I didn't think that God of War 3 was going to be a game that moved units for Sony?
Yes, I remember this conversation.
I am going to take a couple steps back on that. Because while I said it was going to be a good game and it looked good, but I didn't think it was going to move units, I'm taking that back.
Oh.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay. Should I get out the crystal ball?
You can if you want. I don't need the crystal ball. I have the crystal microphone. Mic of truth.
Oh, as long as it's not a crystal skull on the top, we're okay.
Yeah, no. No That's crystal.
Crystal skulls are a bad omen.
No crystal skulls here, man. All right.
Bad omen.
I have none of that. Bad juju. Not bad juju. Just bad juju.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to retract that statement. God of War 3 looks better than just good.
It's great.
Fucking phenomenal.
Okay.
So,
wait, is it so fucking phenomenal that fucking is spelled with a PH?
Sure, why not? Here's the deal. There are a couple of official trailers out there, including the most recent one, which is Fear Nothing, which if you haven't seen it, smack yourself, tell your mother to smack you, then get on the internet and go and watch it, because
texting Aunt Ash Mom right now. When you get home, slap me. Don't ask. Send. Okay.
Did you actually just whip your phone out?
Yep.
I could tell, because I could hear it in the microphone.
Yep, iPhones.
Awkward! Okay, anyway, the trailer starts out with a crow. You don't know where this crow's going. This crow hops from tree to tree. Then he ends up on the ground. And he picks up something off the ground, which you think is a worm. But then he raises his head up a little bit more and you realize
it's a finger?
Somebody's eyeball.
Oh.
With the retina still hanging off.
Ew.
And then Kratos comes running by.
Running or walking really
fast?
Oh,
he's... No, he's running. He's running. Blades of Chaos out.
Oh, okay.
He's about to fuck some shit up. And there's just hordes of things jumping on him and fighting him. And he gets kind of pig-piled on. And you think, oh, man, Kratos is in trouble. But then he changes to this weapon that looks like lion heads, gauntlets, and these heavy weights fall, and off in the distance you see a Cyclops. And you know Kratos is heading right to that motherfucker to take it to him. And he does. And he winds up on the back of the Cyclops and starts using the Cyclops to beat the shit out of the little grumbling dudes on the ground.
Really?
And then he kills the Cyclops, and it's falling off this tree. And you realize the tree is kind of at a weird angle. And then the camera backs out, and you realize all this is happening on the back of Gaia as she's climbing up to Olympus.
Are you serious?
Ah, shit you not. And that's the end of the trailer. And I'm like, fuck yes. Can I has pre-order?
Another? Can I has more?
I can has pre-order. That's where I'm at right now. Because I have loved the fact from God of War 1 to God of War 2 that we've kept telling the same story. Because the story's been so good.
I know.
Good,
if they go prequel, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah. No. The only place that you had even remotely the hint of that is in Chains of Olympus, where it was more Kratos' story. And I'm fine for that stuff happening off major console. But the main story arc should always be on the main console. So if you want to do a side story and have that pop up on the PSP or the DS or wherever, awesome. Go for it. But main story should always remain on the console that started it all, which I've been very appreciative of Sony for doing that. But I love that it's been from 1 to 2, the continuation, linearly, of the same story. And now it looks like from 2 to 3, it's going to be that same thing. Because I was really worried, you know, when David Jaffe was not going to be as hands-on in 2, we all kind of took this deep breath and went, oh my god,
like, oh no. Wincing the eye.
And then when Corey Barlog came on as the main helmer of 2, we were like, okay, alright, because this is, you know, David's second hand and still the same vision, and, you know, the game came out, and
we all know that the second hand only feels a little different from the first hand.
Right, but I'm going to argue that I enjoyed the second game more than the first.
Yes,
you know, so when we then heard that Corey was not going to be the main helmer of 3, that's when I kind of went, okay, all right, how many times can you capture lightning in the bottle before it blows up the fucking bottle and you wind up with chunks
of
glass in your
face? How big is this bottle is what I want to know.
You know, but from what I've seen of 3, it looks just phenomenal. You know, the fact that...
No, fucking phenomenal.
Thank you. The fact that it looks like the game, when you start, is going to pick up where you left off from 2, so that you'll be fighting and basically playing a whole level, if not more, on the back of Gaia as you're trying to get to Zeus, really intrigues me.
Well, fuck yes, because now it's Titans versus Gods.
You know, the new weapons, while they've only announced Cestus, which are the lion head gauntlet things,
yes,
and the Blades of Chaos... No word yet on the Blade of Olympus or, you know, how that plays into anything yet. Or what other weapons are going to be available. But you will still have the fleece in some form or another. And the winged feet. So there's going to be more aerial combos going around.
God.
Like during the trailer.
I want to fight in the air.
During the trailer you can actually see like Kratos do like a wall run. Kind of very ninja-like, and then
why would he run off of something with the fly shoes if they can have him fly?
Well, because he can't really fly. You remember he didn't really fly as much as he glided because eventually the wings would lose the feathers and then you wouldn't
be able. Because of Icarus
right.
And the sun and the
so
wax.
It's not really a fly as much as it's a glide, but it was really interesting to watch him glide, hit the wall, run around, and use the Blades of Chaos to jab into someone's neck to finish the spin around and take them down. I am looking forward to killing some shit.
Meat.
This game cannot come fast enough.
Not that I can, you know, play it.
But that's the thing. I think that it will move units. For people that have enjoyed 1 and 2, they're not going to want to be the people that don't finish the story.
But do you think those who, like, say, me, who have their 360s, have been very content over there, who are avid, you know, fans, do you think that this would sell a PS3 for this game alone?
If Sony reduces the price a little bit more, I think so. I think if the price becomes competitive with an Xbox 360, because I think, like many other people, I think that the Elite systems are going away. So if you get the PS3 pricing competitive with the Xbox 360 Premium, okay, and those people that have done Story 1 and 2, and the people that I'm talking about here are the people that once they finished 2, went back and played it a couple more times. That's how much they enjoyed it. I think that those are the people that will go, you know what, I've got my Xbox 360, but man, I really want to be able to play this game. Especially when you tack on what's coming now for Sony this year. I don't think if God of War 3 came out last year, I'd be saying this. Because I don't think that was competitive enough. I don't think that there were enough mature games that were fun on the platform to move the systems. But I think now, if you tack God of War 3, Killzone 2, Infamous, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, which I'm going to talk about a little later on here, and things like Arkham Asylum, I think that it will. I think that on the competitive side, you will have people go, well, I can get it on the Xbox 360 or I can get it on the PlayStation for the same price. And if I get the PlayStation 3, I get a Blu-ray player on top, which I don't have with my Xbox. Because Blu-ray is picking up. It won the war.
Yeah, it did.
So I think that if the pricing becomes competitive, you will see more people picking up PS3s for the Blu-ray player and game content, not just as a gaming machine. So I think on that level, Sony's right. But again, the pricing has to become competitive. As long as it is decidedly more, and I'm going to go with $50 more, I don't think that you'll see people going, well, do I really need the Blu-ray player?
Right.
Now, speaking of which, the next thing that leads me to, before I get to Arkham Asylum, is with the success that Devil May Cry has had on the Xbox 360, will it continue to be a multi-platform game? Because Capcom has really profited well from the multi-platform things. I think that you're going to see exclusivity, with the exception of games that are developed in-house by Microsoft and by Sony, go away. I think you're going to see everything that comes out go multi-platform. And if that happens, then game releases are going to happen first on the Xbox 360, because developers have said it's easier to code for the Xbox 360. So you may see something released first, and then 2 months later, you see it on the PS3. Which I think is a problem for Sony. So I think that those are some things that need to happen in order for them to move.
Then why doesn't Sony try to make it a little easier for developers to code for the PS3?
Is it because
of the Blu-ray that makes it more difficult to code, or
no? It's just the architecture of the chip and how it plays with all the hardware inside. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with the Blu-ray player. The laser's fine.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no.
The laser is different.
It's blue.
Instead of red.
Right. Blue laser, not red laser.
Lasers.
But that's not the problem. It's just the environment itself is very difficult to control, from different articles that I've read on Kama Sutra. Because I'm not a developer. I've never claimed to be a developer. Never.
Developers.
I knew that was going to pop into your head.
I couldn't help it. You just had to say it.
Well, it's true.
It's
and that
addictive.
Video is damn addictive.
That's
addictive. You know, but I look at the games that are coming. Like Arkham Asylum, the Batman game, looks awesome. Okay? The voice acting is on spot. They got Mark Hamill in to do the Joker, which Mark Hamill's voice for the Joker on the animated series made me fall in love with the Joker.
No, wait, we're talking the Joker from Batman, not Batman Beyond or any of that, right?
We're talking about the
Joker. We're talking the good animated Batman.
Batman, the animated series.
Awesome.
Not Batman, the bold and the beautiful.
The bold and the beautiful Batman.
The bold and the brave. I know what it is. I just like to call it the bold and the beautiful. Not Batman Beyond.
Oh, no. I know I have a horrible, horrible image of the Batman sequence to the bold and beautiful music with pearls in the background. Oh, my God, that's horrible.
But Batman, the animated series. And so I've always loved that Joker because Mark Hamill does something very deranged. With that character. And it just... He just goes to more the point of kind of blending that campy insanity with just batshit nuts. Like, there were some episodes where you're like, oh, the Joker's going to do ha, ha, ha. And then he would just flip on a dime.
And well, isn't that kind of his thing?
But to be able to carry that off with just audio says a lot about a person.
Hey, I can carry a lot of stuff off of audio.
Yeah, you can. And it usually gets replayed on DPL.
You know what?
Am I lying? Am I wrong?
No. Okay. No, you're not lying.
But the thing about the Batman game is its gameplay is a little bit different. I'm going to apologize now for my cracking voice. I'm not going through puberty. I've got a cold.
She's going through reverse puberty.
Oh, God, don't wish that on anyone.
I won't.
But the thing about the game... If you check out GameTrailers.com, you can actually see some of the walkthrough videos that were done at GDC, as well as PAX and E3 earlier last year. The gameplay makes you feel like, or at least it looks to me like it will make you feel like you really are Batman. So, first of all, you interact with the entirety of the environment. The developers like to refer to it as predatory game style. And so in one of the levels that they were showing off, you're basically in the asylum, and Batman uses his Batarang.
Batarang! Sorry, that just sounds really cool to say.
And basically goes up to and perches on these gargoyles that are at the top, almost next to the ceiling of the room. And I was looking down on a bunch of the Joker's men. And so you basically look at the entire floor before you. So it's kind of involves a lot of strategy as well, which I like, in that you now have to come up with ways to take all these guys that are clustered together and make them separate out within the room so it's easier for you to take them down. It's like at one point... Batman swoops into this room where there's nobody and plants a bomb and then swoops out, sets off the bomb, and a couple of guys run over to it while the main group stays in the middle of the hallway. He takes down those two guys and then slips into this grate in the sewer as a third guy comes in and walks through the room. And once he walks through the room, he pops back out and goes back to his perch and now proceeds to figure out ways to take out the rest of the guys. So I find that this kind of dynamic coming in where it's not just a linear, okay, here's a room, here are the baddies, clear the baddies, okay, next room,
next
here,
room.
Here are the baddies,
blah, blah,
here are the
blah,
baddies.
Blah, 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 like we haven't seen that before.
Exactly. And so I think that this is going to be really interesting. Plus Paul Dini, who was part of the writing staff for the animated series, wrote for the game. So it is very dark and to me, just in what I've seen, looks like an extension of the animated series. Plus, it's gorgeous. So
plus, it's aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
You'll see that June 9th this year on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. Definitely check it out.
Okay.
It's worth a rental.
You've already sold me. Yeah. Not that I wasn't planning to do it already, but you've like doubly sold me, which
Yay.
Means everyone out there should at least be a quarter sold, if not a half.
Yeah. Let's go with be half sold on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because not everybody is a Batman fan. No. There are some people out there who actually like Superman.
And not liking Superman's okay. I like Superman. I'm in love with the Bat Boy.
I love people who don't have superpowers, who have lots of money to pretend they have superpowers.
You mean like Green Arrow?
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I like superpowered people too. Mutants forever. I heart mutants forever.
So that's all I had to bring to the table.
Oh, so do I get to talk now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. Okay, so
hold the mic with two hands. Takes two hands. Hold a while.
I don't need to two hand this shit. I'm a fucking pro. Oh, that's really bad too.
I wanted
to stay away from games this week. Not that I don't love games. For one, I don't have anything new. I've been really obsessed with Resident Evil 5, and school's kind of
which
been...
Which, you were supposed to play with me last week, and you totally blew me off to get
Yeah,
drunk.
Because people said, hey, do you want to do something in RL? And I said, fuck yes.
Yes.
So, I went into the real world.
Went into the real world, and I came back to play in the digital world, and you were handy.
I was still in the real world.
You were handy.
So, you know, I just went and got the guide for Resident Evil 5, because there are still some things I haven't completed. Like, I'm not usually... the magpie, you know, ferret. Ooh, I must collect everything in a game. I've found that now playing this game, and a lot of the games on the 360 actually, I've felt a stronger need to really complete
them.
And I've been having a problem in Res 5, and A, this is because I haven't been playing much because school's actually been kind of dogging me. And I've been wanting to go out into the real world more often, so I've been trying very hard to stay away from the temptations of the internets. Mm,
she is a cruel mistress.
She is, and I managed to get my guide. So I'm going to go and get all of the little emblems and all the gems and the stuffs that you can get so I can get the really cool outfits and I can look spiffy when I go and do mercenaries with my peeps. It only cost me $12 and it was pretty nice and it's smooth. I love books when they're smooth.
Oh, like they're so glad you said books when they're smooth.
Yeah. Like the guides, I like the way they feel. I know that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Don't make me laugh. It hurts when I laugh.
But actually what I'm talking about today also has a very smooth cover. And originally I was gonna talk about a graphic novel out by Vertigo. By Neil Gaiman, The Sandman, Endless Nights. Sadly, as much as I want to talk about this, you had to have read Sandman throughout to understand what they're pulling from it.
Wait,
for Endless Nights.
You thought you could jump into a Neil Gaiman series
well, no.
in the middle
See,
of the
I had,
series?
I had read the first two of The Sandman, like uh-huh. the actual one. And one of my friends from the table, she's a sweetheart, I love her, she's like, have you ever read it? Endless Nights. And I said, no. And she's like, here, borrow it. And then she ran off to class. So I figured, I'm like, oh, well, maybe this will give me a synopsis and I'll be able to jump in. No.
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 So
not even close.
As gorgeous, and let me tell you it is, I mean, it jumps into several different stories of all of the brothers and sisters of, you know, Dream. It's Dream, Death, Destruction, Delirium, Destiny. And am I missing somebody? Did I say Death already?
I think you did.
Well, there's a couple of them.
Yeah, you went Dream, Death.
Yeah, Dream, Death, Destruction, Delirium, and Destiny, I believe. There are seven chapters in this, so there's seven of them, apparently. And since I haven't finished it and I haven't finished Sandman, I don't feel comfortable talking about it. So I'm going to talk about a graphic novel that I have managed to read completely. And I was actually really... moved by it because, you know, a lot of, you know, graphic novels, when they're very insightful and they're very deep, it's usually something inner, like inner tragedy, you know, like of a person, someone's revelation about something horrific that's happened to them mm-hmm. or something that they've seen that has done this. And this actually relates into real life because apparently it is based off of a true story about something that happened over in Iraq. So, I'm really proud of myself, A, for reading it, and B, bring
it. Star for Panda.
I'm proud to bring it to everybody. I'm not expecting everybody to rush out and go buy this. I mean, it would be really nice, but I mean, with the mega burger and the economy as it is, I would not expect it. So, just so you know, the graphic novel I'm going to talk about is called Pride of Baghdad. The story is by Brian K. Vaughan with art by Nico Hendrickson. And the little quote that's on the front page, because, you know, pride, you know, like lion.
Lion.
But the little quote that is on this that was from USA Today states that a brightly colored tragedy as unblinking as the perils faced every day in the real Iraq. So, I mean, it's moving. It is very gripping. The basic story is that there is a pride of lions at an zoo in Afghanistan right before, you guessed it, a U.S.-led coalition decides that they're going to drop some bombs.
Oh, we're dropping bombs again.
Dropping bombs.
Damn it.
And one of the bombs happens to hit this zoo, which then allows all the animals to escape. This Uh-oh. Pride of lions, you know, they've been plotting escape for the longest time, but, you know, after a while you start getting...
Wait. The lions were plotting escape?
Yeah, they wanted to break out of the zoo.
Okay.
They've been sitting there going, you know, oh,
it was kind of Madagascar. The lions were like, we gotta get the hell out of the zoo.
But it wasn't like, oh my God, we just want to go and we don't want to bring anyone. Like, it's really, really interesting how they work this out, because obviously, you know, if you know anything about animals, the lionesses are the ones who go out and hunt, and the guys just fuck them and make babies and kill things.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the lead lioness is the one trying to initiate alliances with all the other animals, because, you know, none of the animals trust the others. Because, you know, lions eat any animals.
Everything
made
else.
Of meat.
Yeah.
So they don't want to trust the lions because they think, oh, as soon as we're all out there, they're just going to kill us. And this lead lioness, Noor, spelled N-O-O-R, you know, I'm seriously not even thinking about that. She's like, don't you want freedom? Like, there's a lot of, you know, basis in being free and wanting to know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the beginning, you see Noor, and she's talking to a gazelle. And the gazelle's like, you know, I don't know if I trust you. You know, and she's like, you know, she's trying to get him to agree because they're the last group. She's gotten the monkeys and all the other animals. They're all ready to jump in.
The monkeys
this
are like, we're ready to be out this bitch, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. They're like, we're the ones who got the thumbs. We get the keys. We'll let you out. You know, and everyone else is kind of skeptical. But then, of course, here come the bombs. Bombs. Bust everybody out.
Why do your bombs sound like kittens falling from the sky?
Because they have speakers with kitten sounds.
Oh, okay.
On
right.
They're not very fierce bombs.
Okay.
They're kitty bombs.
Kitty bombs.
They're Hello Kitty missiles.
Oh, Hello Kitty missiles. That'd be so cute. Okay, go ahead.
So it blows up the zoo. There are some animals that obviously don't make it through the blast, but the lions escape. So now they're going, well, you know, now we have no handlers. What do we do? Like, what is this, you know, what on earth is this thing? I mean, we don't have to listen to them anymore. Where the hell are we going to go? You know, the whole realization about what freedom actually is, is what this comic is about. You know, and while they're wandering through this, you know, foreign land of Afghanistan, because mind you, being in a zoo, you don't see too much. You know, they come across a couple of other animals. They come across another lion, but he's really old, and he's actually looking forward to death, you know, because he can't do much of anything. And at one point, the whole club, the whole pride of them come across a bear, and the bear's pretty much like, fuck you, I'm gonna fucking kill everything, because I'm bloodthirsty, and I'm mean. I feel bad a giraffe gets its head blown off by a missile. It's kind of graphic.
Shit.
Yeah, this seriously does not play. And, you know, and at the end of it, you know, they've mastered their fear. They've come to understand what freedom is about, only to get killed, slaughtered by U.S. troops. Now, mind you, this is all
reality. Oh, goddamn it. It's so always the man.
Lions.
Always the man.
So some actual lions over
with
there.
The Africans.
busted
they're
out.
African lions. You know, I just, man. You, all
right. Hey, I'm trying to be serious right here.
I'm being serious.
But it was just, it was so moving, you know, and the fact that this is real. So someone heard this story. Well, obviously the writer, Brian Vaughn, you know.
Wait, I'm going to stop you right there. It's not that it's real, but it's based on some actual events because lions don't talk.
Well, no, of course they don't talk. But
they were
obviously.
With the
I doubt that he interviewed the lions, and they said, "Well, we had to fight this bear."
The lion pulled up in a chair and started opening.
It was like, "All right, Mr. Lion, how did you feel?" It's like, "Well, right before the slaughter,
or after the slaughter, man. Stupid
man,
human.
Life was good. You know, I had my bitches."
I can see this as an anime. The lion's just like smoking a cigarette. He's got a scar over one eye. I'll tell you.
Oh my god, you had to go scar.
Well, you know you had to have scars.
I mean, they're all a little scruffy because, you know, they fight.
Exactly.
But I mean, how moved did someone have to be, or namely the writer of the story, to go, holy shit, America killed lions while Americans were killing Afghanis, and I want to capture that in comic book form and get so much praise. And, like, not only did USA Today have to comment about this, but, well... I mean, Playboy.
Well, first of all, let's take one step back, okay? Because USA Today, not necessarily like...
It's not the most prestigious newspaper in the world, but how often do comics and graphic novels get into newspapers?
Especially mainstream media. Not very often. So I do take my hands off for that.
I'm clapping my hands to this.
I think
to mention, the artwork is actually really good. Like, it's beautiful. It actually kind of reminds me of The Lion King, only plus politics. So Lion King plus politics and guns.
Okay.
Is what I would sum this up if I had to choose three words.
I think that that anyone that has at any point in time felt like they were backed into a corner or stuck in something that they, you know, they themselves were not sure how they were going to get out of would have a story that's about freedom, regardless of race, creed, or species, that it would resonate. So I think that it's interesting to use, you know, this pride of lions, which a pride is, you know, very much a family, to tell the story of, you know, family struggling with freedom, especially set in Iraq. So I think that, you know, the play of the lion piece of it versus the human piece of it sounds really interesting.
Oh, it is. Maybe I'll mail it out to you so you can actually read this, because this is actually something I would really want other people to get exposure to, in all honesty. It was that good. I mean, I'm trying to be serious about it because I feel it is that good. Now, do I want to whine and bitch about the politics and the war over there? No. I don't even want to go there. I seriously don't want to go there, but this is worth it. I think.
Well, here's the thing. We're not a political blog, but that doesn't mean
no,
that
we're not.
You know,
so
aware
when something
of what's
political
going on
bitch
in the
slaps
world.
Me in the face and says, "Hey, bitch, read this," and then go, "At least it was on recycled paper."
I don't even know.
I don't feel nearly as bad. Thank you.
Okay.
And so, yes. So, if you're at a Barnes & Noble's or a Walden Books or wherever the fuck your books and comics are held at for ransom, go in there, look for this, and if it's there, browse through it. The fact, if I can get you to go there and open it and look at it, I've done my fucking job, and I'm happy. So it gets 4 out of 5, you know, stars, M&Ms, whatever the fuck. It gets 4 out of 5 everything.
Okay.
From me.
4 out of 5 lionesses? All right.
Fuck yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the last little bit of business, because I did say we were going to get to it a little bit, is Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, which also had some video stuff that was played at GDC. Here's the big thing of what you need to know, and then we'll let you go.
Yes, because we're holding you hostage.
One, new playable characters. So you can play as Ryu. You'll also be able to play as Ayane, which some of you will know from DOA fame. Others will know from earlier Ninja Gaiden games. But also Momiji from the DS game.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
It's going to be a playable character. Ayane gets a new costume, which, believe it or not, is more revealing than her normal one.
What did she wear normally?
Normally she was wearing a Kunoichi kind of cropped kimono. You know, okay. Cropped at the top.
Yes.
So that
I know, you, I already know what you're talking then, about.
Yeah. Well, this go-around, she's got on hot pants and a bra. And will a bow.
Where's the bow?
In the back. So that harkens to her old kimono where it was tied in the back. It's not bad, but as soon as I saw the video, I was like, well, her boobs is out a little bit more. But it's Team Ninja, so what do you expect?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
I love Team Ninja. They love to show off the ladies.
What's wrong with showing off the ladies?
Nothing. I'm letting you know beforehand what to expect.
That there are some ladies to be seen.
Momiji's outfit, she definitely has more cloth because she wears pants.
Oh, yay, pants.
But there are slits in the pants, so you can see thigh.
Mm-hmm.
I like her costume. It's very tasteful. But here's the most important thing, which is why, one way or another, we will be getting you a PS3.
Nice.
Not just for the God of War 3, but for this one.
No, but for work.
For the first time, I love how you say that.
It's for work.
For the first time in the franchise, since it's come onto the new consoles, there will be online co-op.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Are you fucking with me?
Nope.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Ninja Battle online. Go through with a friend. Story mode. Crazy difficult. Yeah. So, I'm so looking forward.
I can tell.
So looking forward.
You're so excited. It's fantabulous.
Don't go Oprah on the people.
It's a little, I didn't go. That wasn't fucking Oprah. I said fantabulous.
You're getting close there. You're getting a little close there.
Oh my God, look underneath your chairs. There's co-op play! And an iPhone.
And you get co-op play. And you get co-op play.
Co-op play is my favorite thing this year. What?
Anyway,
I went there, so what?
I love that you went there. But I'm really looking forward to it because I think that that's one of those things in the game that is so value-added and really overdue. Even though I haven't finished Sigma 1 because it's so damn difficult. It's difficult.
Doesn't matter. You're ready for 2.
I'm ready for 2. I'm also ready to remind you guys, they need to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of the ESH podcast airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com on Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. So make sure to catch our show either through iTunes on our site or there. And if you are on the All Games Radio Network, make sure that you check out some of the other really entertaining shows there, like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest.
Did we say Super Fun Time Show?
I did, right?
Avatar.
Chatterbox.
Video Game Outsiders.
Bobby Blackwolf Show.
And Friday Night Gaming.
There's all kinds of really great geek chic stuff over there. So make
fuck
sure
yes to geek chicness.
That you check it out. And if you do, remind them that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you over there.
Ladies.
So with that, I'm going to have to say that this podcast is toast.
Yeah, I think it's toast.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I think I'm going to make a pride of toast, and I'm going to shoot it and put it on
Facebook. You're going to shoot your toast and put it on Facebook.
Yes.
What you just said?
Yes. No, I'm going to put it on Facebook and DeviantArt. Because my DeviantArt is up. People want to see some black and white pics that Panda's taken. Not of herself, obviously, because I have to hold the camera. Lady Rich 23. Check it out. What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to fling it at you like a
shark. Why? You're wasting your toast.
No, I'm utilizing my toast. My toast has a high utilization number. It's like 93% utilization.
Utilize what?
Exactly. So I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Bye, San Diego.